All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 196. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
That's me.
Another little bit of a hodgepodge, kind of a lighter week, but I mean, we do have at least one new theatrical film, so I consider that a success in our book. But we're going to start it off with, well, the Oscars just happened this last Sunday, and it's pretty funny because I know you like don't watch them all the time.
Nope, I did not. I mean, I like kind of like followed a little bit on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I zoned out and caught like just kind of checked to see who won basically at the end.
It's funny. For me, it's like fucking church. It always has been since like I was like, I can't remember a time I didn't watch the Oscars. Like as young as I can remember, I watched the Oscars, right? It's like, and I've pretty much caught it every year, at least since I've been an adult. You know, like, again, I can't think of one I missed. I almost, like, didn't care. Like, I still watched this one, but I was not hyped about it like I usually am. And there's a lot of, like, leading into it, a lot of, like, stupidity. And it just seemed like the show was going to be a train wreck.
Yeah, no host. And
Well, first there was a host, and then he got fired. And then they couldn't find anyone that wanted to do it. They were thinking about removing some of the most important categories from airing, like doing them like during commercial breaks, like best cinematography, best editing and shit. And then I think on top of it, like I think almost worse than any of that is, you know, last year I thought was a pretty fantastic year for film. And some of the stuff that they nominated doesn't make sense to me. Like, I mean, again, for me, like I have not seen like Bohemian Rhapsody,
right?
But it's not like there's a single person I've heard of that's seen that like thought that should be up for Best Picture.
No, like everybody, I like, oh, it's great if you're a Queen fan. It's like fun. Like the music is good. Of course, the music is good. It's fucking Queen. Like, but nobody was like, this is an amazing fucking film. Like, in fact, recently it's been a lot of like, man, have you seen like how shittily edited this thing is? Like,
and it won Best Editing.
Yeah,
like that was the thing. Is like a week before the Oscars, like going into it, like it was like a fucking thing that was being passed around all over film Twitter of like, look how bad the editing is on this film. And then they won, and like I don't know if you saw the clip. It's terrible.
I did like that. Somebody counted it. It was like a 40 some cuts.
In like a 30-second
scene. Yeah.
It's just like ridiculous. I mean, it's definitely the most edited
fucking. Yeah, that's what somebody said. Like, evidently best editing means most editing.
And so I mean, a lot of the films that were nominated for Best Picture were films that were widely hated by critics, and I mean, I guess you can't say Bohemian Rhapsody was hated by audiences and made money, but like, I mean, just going down the list, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, and Vice were all pretty vilified by critics as time went on. And they're all booked for Best Picture.
Yep.
So it was really weird for me.
One of them won Best Picture.
Yeah, and we'll get into that. But it was weird for me going into this. Like, I'm like, there's no way on any level this isn't a complete train wreck. And honestly, surprisingly, for like most of the broadcasts, I was like, it turned out way better than I thought it would be. But then, like, when you started to get to the big categories near the end, I was just absolutely baffled by some of the choices. So, why don't we just go through them? And I'm just going from a list I pulled up, and it starts with Best Picture. So it looks like it starts with the biggest ones.
Okay.
You know, Best Picture. Green Book won, and again, like I've actually not seen Green Book. I can't remember if you have or not.
I have not seen Green Book. There's a lot of controversy around Green Book, though.
There is, and it's a movie. Like you'll remember, I mean, I talked about it on here. You know, I've been picking on it since last. I've never seen it, but like the moment I saw the trailer, I hated it. I hated everything about it. I know it goes against like kind of what I say, like, you should see a movie before you judge it, but it's like, there's no way I'm coming out of that movie going, that was great. It's just not. And yeah, there's a few different controversies about it. Like, one, the guy that wrote it has a history of saying like racist shit on Twitter. And, you know, it's a the guy who wrote it is he's writing about his dad, really,
right?
And his character in the movie is a racist, and it's just like, okay, so there's that. The guy that Mahershala Ali is playing, like his family was not cool with the depiction of him in the film, and just looking at it like, again, I haven't seen it, but you know what it is when you see the trailer. It's the type of movie that we should not be making anymore. It's just not the, you know, these movies about how, you know, white folks were used to be racist, but now we're so much better because we got a little less racist. And aren't we so good to those black people? Like, I just, that's not helpful. That's not, it's old. It's dated. Like, you stack like a story like that up next to Black Klansman, it's just,
yeah, contest. I don't know if I'm of the opinion that we like they shouldn't be made anymore. Like, hey, make whatever shit you want, but like I think we need to stop celebrating them for sure. Like,
yeah, giving them best picture.
Yeah,
and on top of it, like the funny thing is though, it's like Green Book was kind of a bomb. Like the audiences did not care, and some of the other ones on this list like did. Like I think Black Klansman did better in terms of what it was than. Like Green Book was like this assumed success, and it's like barely fucking anyone gave a shit either. Yeah, it was honestly it was the worst fucking thing that could have won that category for me. Like I was just like it was like a slap in the face. Like, I was just like, what? You picked the worst one of the worst films of the year? Which again, I know I haven't seen it, but fucking I saw the trailer, dude. I know what it is. I was totally like I would have been totally cool. I thought it was going to be The Favorite or Roma. I would have totally been cool with Black Klansman or Roma.
Right. Yeah, I would have been all right with. I mean, I didn't see Roma yet, but.
Roma's good, dude.
I've heard good things. Yeah. Like, but I certainly don't have any issues with it. Like, everybody seems to be on board with it. And
I would have been fine with your film of the year last year, Star Is Born. I would have been like, it would have been a totally understandable pick and a movie that I liked, you know?
Right.
Like, again, it would have been my pick, but I would have walked away from that. Like, that's fine. Yeah, I don't know. Let's not dwell on it too long, but I think that fucking was a real shitty ending to the night.
Just to circle back,
yeah.
Green Book made $70.9 million in North America. Black Klansman made $48.7 million. So
okay, so I'm wrong.
Did do a little more.
I'm totally wrong. I was worried about saying that. I know that Black Klansman was successful for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a $15 million movie. Like,
and Green Book though, as positioned as it was, like from the moment you said go, like they thought it was going to be like this big fucking hit, and it kind of, like I guess $78 million. Is good, but
yeah, and it's not what you gotta remember when like Green Book came out in early September in a dead period, like it was positioned as a well, this is going to be an awards film. Black Klansman was thrown out like in August. The beginning of yeah. August, like which is it's the tail end of the summer, but you're still dealing with like big budget action movies. Like the fact yeah. that it did as well as it did. In that area is actually pretty decent.
And, you know, the fact, yeah, it's a little more complex and modern take on race relations in America, which apparently, or not apparently, I don't know. Like, I know a lot of white people don't want to hear it, but anyways, whatever. It's really, like, I could go on about this for a fucking hour yeah. about how mad I am, but bottom line, I'm not happy with Best Picture winner. Actress in a supporting role went to Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk. I had no pick in this category that I was like super game of shit about, honestly. So good for her. I haven't seen that movie yet. I want to see it, but I don't know if there's anything there for you that was like.
No.
Where the fuck was Claire Foy? I think.
Right.
Like, she's not even nominated. actor in a supporting role, went to Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Again, I think he's a great actor. We're going to be talking about him more tonight. But for me personally, I would have gave that to Sam Elliott for A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I mean, obviously, neither of us saw Green Book. Don't know how that turned out. Like, but
I'm sure he's great in it. It's just
wouldn't have been my pick. Like,
I think Sam Elliott, like that guy's a really cool actor, and it's like, I don't know. It just felt like the right moment for him to get that award, and unfortunately, he didn't.
Right.
Foreign language film went to Roma. I mean, I think that's like a, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Skip over that. Documentary feature went to Free Solo, which I have not seen yet. I will have seen it next week. It's going to be actually airing on National Geographic this Sunday. So
okay,
I'm going to check it out. That's like the one where it's like, dude, rock climbing with no ropes or whatever the fuck. Like, I'm sure it's going to scare the shit out of me. Yeah, like, sometimes, like, if especially if it's like shot really well, that stuff will like really like,
yeah, like that vertigo feeling.
Yeah, I wanted Minding the Gap to win, though, by the way. Out of the ones that were nominated here, I think Minding the Gap is really special, and there's kind of like a personal hometown kind of connection to me, anyways. But I don't think I've seen any of the other ones. I did hear that Hale County This Morning, This Evening is really good, too. Original song went to Shallow, Stars Born.
Seems
no surprise, no surprise there. And honestly, it makes me happy. I'm sure it makes you happy.
Yeah. He'll at least take out something.
And then we're going to go to the two brightest spots of the night for me. One was Best Animated Feature Film went to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
And I agree with that one.
I agree with it, and it made me really happy to see like a Spider-Man movie win an Academy, like a big Academy Award. And just, I mean, like, I love Pixar and I love Disney, but take the piss out of them a little bit, you know, work a little harder. From what I heard, Ralph Breaks the Internet was not quite as amazing, and Incredibles 2, while I liked it, really faded from my memory.
Yeah, it was fine.
It's fine, but Spider-Man was pretty special. So it was cool to see them, like, see Spider-Man topple, like, the big guns and
Disney. Yeah.
And then Best Adapted Screenplay went to Black Klansman, which means that Spike Lee got his first Oscar ever. I think it's well past due. You know, whether you're a fan of him or not, there's no denying, in my opinion, that Do the Right Thing should have been nominated and probably won in 1989, and it just got shafted. So, you know, 30 years later, dude has a statue now. But unfortunately, I wanted to see him win director or best picture, but I mean, screenplay is, that's a big award, you know?
Right.
I mean, unfortunately,
that seems to be like, we really want to honor you and so, because they did it to Get Out last year.
Yeah, it's a short deal. Yeah,
like it's like, here's our award for the black guy,
and then we're gonna slap you in the face with what the fucking big winner is. Although last year I cannot be mad about Guillermo del Toro winning the big prize.
No,
that's pretty cool. I didn't love The Shape of Water, but like, it's cool, dude. So then we go from awesome award and adapted screenplay to original screenplay going to Green Book. I don't know what else to say about that other than that's funny. Best actor in a leading role went to Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody. Doing an impression, but he was up against a guy playing a fucking Dago. When Viggo Mortensen, William Dafoe, like, it's all impressions. William Dafoe is playing, I forgot who the fuck he plays in that movie.
Van Gogh.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Christian Bale does an incredible Dick Cheney impression.
Yeah.
Though, of those picks, I'd probably go with Bradley Cooper, dude. He's not doing a fucking impression.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at this, and, like, he's actually acting. Like, what, you know, whether
he's doing an original character.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone else is based on someone, and a lot of it is like, again, impressions, and like Viggo Mortensen is a caricature of an Italian. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I would probably go Bradley Cooper too for that. But what's a Rami Malek? I mean, the only good thing I'll say about that is like I like Rami Malek.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty cool dude.
Yeah. Best actress with Olivia Colman, The Favorite. This is one award that, you know, film Twitter went absolutely crazy for her. So happy for her. She did have a cool speech, but like again, The Favorite for me was just okay. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not like, I don't know what the hard on is about Olivia Colman. I can't honestly remember her from anything else other than The Favorite, which might sound terrible, but I'm just being honest. I didn't notice her before that movie. Good for her, I guess. I don't know where you'd go with this one. I have a feeling where you might go.
I mean, for, yeah, I didn't see Roma. I did not see Glenn Close's performance. I would probably go Lady Gaga here, but
yeah.
I mean, she was eye opening in that.
She was great. She was very good. I honestly wanted Yalitza Aparicio, I'm saying her name terribly, to win for Roma, because I just thought it was so cool that she wasn't really like an actress or anything, like, mm-hmm. and she feels very like natural and she's like really good in it. I just thought that would have been cool. But honestly, another one like Melissa McCarthy. I've not seen Can You Ever Forgive Me, but I want to see it. I'm going to see it soon. Mm-hmm. And she looks pretty good in that.
But, yeah, I like whatever. McCarthy. I mean, I can't be angry about it. I didn't see The Favorite. Like,
yeah, it's like, I'm not angry.
I am looking over Olivia Colman's filmography. I don't know most of these. Like, I've seen maybe a couple of the movies she's been in, but I don't remember her performance, so...
Anyway, I mean, I'm happy. Honestly, that category I was totally fine with because I'm like, I know most of film Twitter was like, wanted her to win. So I was like, happy that we got one that people wanted. But right. It was like, for me, I would like, again, probably, I would have been fine with Glenn Close too, just because she's an awesome actress who hasn't won one yet.
Yeah, that would have been fine.
I guess I would have been okay with almost any of the ones that would could have won there.
Seems honestly. Like I'm not, like any of the picks there would have been fine. I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's just.
It's not best an exciting director.
Category.
Yeah, it was just like they're all kind of good picks, and it's like no matter which way it goes, it's kind of fine. Director went to Alfonso Cuarón for Roma. Again, I would probably give this to Spike Lee. I think Black Klansman is really well directed, and I just wanted to see him get it. But I mean, Cuarón, in my opinion, his directing is a little gimmicky at points.
Mm-hmm.
But his cinematography in that is just fucking beautiful, and it's just a beautiful film.
I so, whatever. And, like, I'm like, I would... Not that I expected Bradley Cooper to win, but I probably would have flipped, like, Adam McKay for Bradley Cooper. Like, just... I don't know. Vice was not loved by critics, and...
Mm-hmm.
I mean the performance is in it.
Oh, you're saying take McKay out of the nominee.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like I don't understand why Bradley Cooper was not nominated there. Like I understand, like you're probably not gonna nominate, Black Panther's director, who am I, Ryan Coogler.
Coogler, yeah.
Like, which I mean,
if you're gonna nominate the film for Best Picture, why not? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I wouldn't have had a problem with Coogler being nominated, and obviously you weren't gonna nominate Singer, like just because he's kind of everybody on that film hates him. So
yeah, and I mean, again, I have not seen Bohemian Rhapsody. There's no way that fucking movie should have been nominated for anything, dude. Right. It's fucking Walk Hard. Like, or whatever the fuck that John C. Reilly fucking parody
I think
is.
That's
what
it
is.
I think that was a walk hard.
Like, you can't make those movies anymore exactly like that. Like, it's a fucking... Whatever. Don't get me started on this. Anyways.
I'm going to be interested because, like, there's another, like, you know, same era biopic coming out this year. Like, the Elton John biopic is coming out, like, I think in May or something. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I
Those
hope
movies
that's.
just don't do it for me. I just don't care. Like,
I
unless
mean,
it's something different and
yeah.
special,
Well,
like.
that's why I'm hoping that like they go a little crazy with it, like, with that one, and not just don't just try to tell a straight like, this is how Elton John came to be, like.
You know what's funny is the Queen one. I guess they sanitize the fact that he's gay. Like that's barely like in it from what a lot of people
I
say.
mean, that's, I
And it's
mean,
like,
yeah, that's
dude, that's kind
weird.
of a big thing to leave out. Like it's a huge thing to leave out. I don't know. Whatever.
Like, it's like, oh, should we, like, are we gonna hide the fact that he's gay because it might offend like some of these people that were fans of his in the 70s and 80s and have problems with gay people still? Like, fuck that.
I don't
Like,
know. Yeah,
dude
and
is
it's
gay. Like,
and it you know it's a big part of his life, and yeah, I don't know. It just fuck biopics, anyways, dude. They're fucking formulaic. I hate it. Anyways, we're moving along more quickly. Production design, Black Panther. I think that makes sense, actually.
yeah, it's cool sets on that.
Yeah, Wakanda looks awesome. So, cinematography, Roma. I honestly don't know who the fuck could have beat Roma. When you see it, it's just incredible looking, dude. Like the scene on the beach. I don't know if you've seen like it's like there's like posters of it where they're all kind of like hugging it together on the
I think I
beach,
have, yeah.
and the sun's in the background. And once you have the context to that scene, like what's going on there, like it's beautiful. The movie's just incredible looking, start to finish. He's almost a better cinematographer than a director, in my opinion. Costume, Black Panther, makes sense.
Yeah.
Sound, Bohemian Rhapsody. I guess they were going with the fact that there's music in it.
I guess I don't
It won both sound categories. When you think about it, like for me, First Man should have won sound
Yeah, like
mixing.
when I'm looking at this, like off the top of my head, like that would be my pick. Like
Like,
First
think
Man,
about.
amazing sound.
It was noticeable, like when you watched the movie, it, like helped make you feel like you were
Yep. And
in that spaceship.
it's like I don't, I mean, obviously, have not seen Bohemian Rhapsody. Can't really comment, like, unless they had, like, amazing, like, live scenes, which I mean, A Star Is Born does, but.
Bohemian Rhapsody ends on Live Aid, so it does have like a big concert
Okay.
at the end, like a big like 15-minute concert.
There's, like, a big set piece,
And
like, big on sound.
they mixed the original audio, like remixed basically the original audio to make it sound better, but it's using the actual Live Aid performance.
Okay.
And then Rami Malek and everybody is just kind of lip syncing.
Huh.
But again, it's like that's one of those ones like, oh, we're giving it to that one because there's sound in that. You know what
Right.
I mean? I could have seen too, like it going to A Quiet Place too because of that. But for me, A
Yeah,
First Man should
yeah.
have won those. Anime Short went to Bao. It's the only one I've seen, but I really love Bao.
That was good.
Yeah. I don't know that. Score went to Black Panther. I would have given it to BlacKkKlansman, but oh shit, First Man did win one for visual effects.
Nice. That's cool.
I mean, I'm looking at like everything else that's up against. It's up against some heavy hitters too, so that's kind of
Yeah, in
cool.
Infinity War, Christopher
Yeah.
Robin, Ready Player. I mean, that's actually impressive. Like that it beat those like four visual blockbusters, and it's this kind of like lower key film of, it's still about space travel and
Yeah.
but like really well done.
Editing went to Bohemian Rhapsody, which we already talked.
Yeah.
And then last and but not least, I guess, makeup went to Vice. There was only three things nominated, so whatever.
I think Vice makes sense there. I did not see the other two that were nominated, but
So again, I mean, my big takeaway from this is like fucking Bohemian Rhapsody and Green Book should not have won anything, and they won the big awards. But for me, it was really awesome to see Spider-Man win Best Animated, and really cool to see Spike Lee finally win any sort of Oscar. So
yeah.
I don't know if you have any closing thoughts on that. I mean, I know you didn't even watch it, so you have
No,
way less opinions than me.
it's like I'm looking over this and like nothing here is making me excited to have like like oh, I should have watched because that would have been really cool to see. Like it's like, oh, it's kind of the Academy.
Yeah, they're kind of bad most of the time. Like, again, like sometimes, like, again, like, Chip Water doesn't make me mad, but it also wouldn't have been what I fucking picked. We all know Mandy should have been Best Picture anyways, so.
Sure.
Moving right along, let's get to fucking some newer shit.
Yeah.
Chris, you went and saw the fucking wrestling movie. I honestly think it looks pretty good. It's just I can't drag myself to the theater to see it. Unless maybe you changed my mind. Fighting with the Family, dude.
Yeah, it's Fighting With My Family, which is
Oh.
the I mean, I guess it's a biopic like about this wrestler Paige, and her journey from being a wrestler and as 13 with her family to eventually it kind of tells over a tale of 5 years to becoming the youngest Divas champion or women's champion in WWE history at 18. So it's actually pretty good. I like the cast. Like they're all very well done. Florence Pugh plays Paige. She's quite fetching here. She's very charismatic. Lena Headey plays her mom. You got Nick Frost as her dad. Like they're goofy and over the top, but honestly, like they show clips at the end of the film, and they're just playing those people. Like you look at it, and it's like this is absurd. Like these people are like cartoon characters, but they actually showed like real clips of them in real life, and they're fucking living cartoon characters.
Ooh, she looks a lot like the actual
Like
wrestler
Paige,
too.
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like I think everything in it is pretty good. It's your pretty typical sports story. Like, I mean, if you've seen Rocky or anything like that, it kind of follows that path. And it is a true story on how she kind of like got into the WWE, and became a wrestler and this girl from England at that, like not like she had to leave her family to come here and kind of go through the training. So you gotta, there's some like montages and shit that you go through. I don't, it hit with me. I really liked it. I'm trying to think of what the fuck's his name.
The Rock.
No, The Rock is in it, but
Oh,
oh fuck. He's not showing up on the cast list here either. But he had a pretty big fucking role. Where the fuck is he? Vince Vaughn.
I heard he's good in it.
He's very good in it. I mean he's good in most things that he's in. But he's very, very good here. He plays the trainer. The kind of like the scouting talent.
And he's not Vince Vaughning it up, right? Like he is fucking
No, he's just like a dude.
he like sorry, I don't want to sidetrack this too much, but like when I heard about this, I was like, you know what? This guy is like quietly trying to do more dramatic roles, like Hacksaw Ridge, Brawl in Cell Block 99, this movie. He's got Dragged Across Concrete coming out. Like none of these are the old Vince Vaughn from
Yeah,
the
no,
2000s,
this
you know.
isn't like goofy Vince Vaughn,
Like
like
he's just trying to do regular shit, like different roles, yeah.
yep, he is just like gets a very mild-mannered performance. He plays off of everybody very well. But he's kind of like the mentor here for Paige and driving her to keep going. There's a good story here. I think that's mostly what it comes down to is like it's you get attached to Paige as, or like her real name is Soraya. You get attached to her as, and you want her to succeed. And you see like the crazy shit that it's like it's ripping her brother, who is a little bit older than her. It's like ripping him apart because he didn't get picked, and You see, like, he starts falling apart, and like she's just trying to, like, she wants to do this for her family, even though really she, at the beginning, she was just kind of like doing it because of her family, not for them, not for herself. It was just, this is what my family does. We wrestle. And there's a lot of like drama that I was not expecting in it, but it's still pretty lighthearted. The Rock shows up in a couple scenes. He's good as always. He's playing himself as the Rock. But yeah, it's quite enjoyable. I left there. I wasn't really surprised. Like I went in like I like this character. She was somebody that I kind of followed when I got back into wrestling a little bit a couple years ago, which have since fallen off again. But like she was one of the female wrestlers. I was like, yeah, no, she's pretty cool. And this is that story. So it's pretty decent, and for it's pretty light time at the movies. So worth giving a shot to.
See, I hate biopics, but for me, it's mostly like the ones that are based on musicians. For whatever reason, I fucking hate it.
Just don't want to hear anything about musicians.
I just it's just it's an episode of Behind the Music always. It's always the same thing. I don't know, maybe the thing and like what I want to say is like I do love a good sports movie though, and those are formulaic too. I guess I just
And
like the formula more.
that's what this is. Like it is a formulaic sports movie. Like in the end, she wins, right? Like she gets the success that she's been seeking. But there are like road bumps, and they're rough at times. And she's trying to find herself. And it's interesting because wrestling is, it's not real, but it is. Like it's scripted. Like you know who, like they the wrestlers know who's going to win and lose, but it's like physical acting, and they are actually throwing themselves in danger. And so it's interesting to see like how she goes about it. And I came out going that was really good. I really liked it. So I'm gonna give it 4 stars.
All right.
I think if you are the slight bit interested in her story, it's definitely worth a watch. I don't know if that's like I need to go out to the theater to see it, or wait for like Redbox or Netflix or whatever, but it's definitely worth giving some time to.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it when it comes out on video. I don't have any like new movies. I saw some old movies again. I could tell you about Movie 7. You ever heard of
I have.
that?
It's
So
pretty
yeah.
good. It's pretty good.
Oh, it holds up really well, I think. It's got a little bit of this 90s like we're trying to be edgy thing, but it's like it's fitting for the story, you know. And I don't know, I just think that some of the things that are so strong and good, it doesn't even matter, that has a little bit of a 90s style. And like, style or not, like, Fincher, it's a great director. Anyways, but I do have a new TV, Chris, and that is True Detective Season 3.
You finally wrapped it. Season wrapped
Yeah.
this week.
And I've been waiting to kind of review it for that since I had forgot to talk about it for its like first 4 weeks, right? I'd mentioned that it's pretty good, but I didn't want to like say too much. But we're gonna dig into it now. I'm just gonna start off by saying I'm happy I waited so that we could talk about it as a whole thing. Without, you know, I know you haven't seen it yet, so I won't have too many spoilers. But anyways, the idea behind the season is very similar to season one in that it's about a crime that happened back in the day that gets revisited over the decades, right? So in 1980, one night, these two kids go off on their bikes and one of them ends up dead, like found in the woods dead, kind of posed in a weird way. And then one of them is never found. So, and I think that's one thing that I think made this in one way stronger than season one, because there's someone out there that possibly could still be alive still, you know? And that's true throughout the whole thing. So it's like once it gets revisited later and then later, this girl is she alive? Is she dead? Like it gives it a stronger hook to the mystery, I think, in a way. So yeah, like that's the crime or whatever that happens in 1980, and then we revisit it 10 years later in 1990. With these kind of same two cops that did the initial investigation, kind of reopening the case, and then we're revisiting it now today. I think it's like 2015, where they're like old men now.
Okay,
and so like the two cops this time are Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff. There's no surprise Ali's great, and like almost everything he does, he's the main character here, and he's really good in it throughout all three time periods. But for me personally, Stephen Dorff really surprised me. Like, he's really good in it as kind of like the supporting, like, you know, other partner.
Right.
Both of them, though, have amazing, amazing age makeup throughout the day. Like, them as old men look real. Like, it's 100% convincing that they're fucking like 80 years old. This show should definitely win a fucking Emmy for that makeup work. I think it's really strong and engaging throughout the whole thing. And then the finale happened. And I don't think anyone was happy with the finale.
No, Twitter did.
You saw this.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that I totally understand where people are coming from. And it's not just like, I remember like season one, some people were let down by the ending. They're like, oh, it's just such and such. Like, you know, that's not as surprising as I thought. But season one has a pretty strong, like, exciting climax where there's like, they're like chasing this guy through fucking tunnels and shit. And, you know, like it has like that big payoff, I think. At least something a little more than this. This thing like peters out at the end. We're just like, okay. I personally liked the ending okay, but even as I'm watching it, I'm like, this is a little bit off. I'm like, it's a little bit underwhelming, but I wasn't mad about it. My girlfriend immediately as it ended, she said, "That's it?" And then you go to Twitter and you just kind of see like this consensus building between people that were not happy. Me personally, I was like okay with it. Like I said, I was okay. I thought it was a little underwhelming, but it was like one of those things where I'm like, you know, give it a little time. I think it's gonna like sit better with time. But my one friend who like, you know, lives down the street from me, and we were texting back and forth after it. Like, he was fine with it too. He's like, you know, people always want this big, you know, twist, and like the explanation you get is never enough. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of it. It just ends on this weird beat too. Like, it ends on like a weird scene where you're just like, that's what, why was that important? Anyways, but over, like, for me, it's still a very, very strong recommend this season. It's very enjoyable to ride along the way. It just has that kind of huge disclaimer of the ending you might not find satisfying. So I don't know if that changes how you feel about watching it, but like, I don't. Yeah. Here's my opinion: the ending does not ruin how good it was getting there. So
that's fair. I mean, that's a lot of Stephen King books.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, you'll see when you watch it. Maybe we'll do a spoiler talk about season three of True Detective. But I mean, that's kind of like the consensus that formed after it, and like, I get it. I totally get it. But I just, like, there's people who are like our friend Brian is just like, nah, dude, fuck that season. That was worthless. Like, a total waste of time. I'm like, I don't feel that way at all. Yeah, I think the ending was could have been better, or could have added up to like something more different. It felt like it was going in a certain direction. And I'm not going to say any more because I don't want to avoid spoilers, right. But we'll talk after you see it.
All right.
We got two things left here. I guess we'll go with Behind the Curve first, which I saw you talking a little bit about. I had not heard of.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just happened to catch somebody tweeting about this on Twitter, and I was like, That sounds interesting. So it's a behind the curve. It's a documentary on people that believe the Earth is flat. And it spends a lot of time with these conspiracy theorists, laying out their thesis for the Earth being flat. And it's come to find out that they don't all agree. Like, they all think the Earth is flat, but they don't all agree in how we got there and how it is set up. And some people believe that we are in a Truman Show-like dome. It's insane. But interspersed through all this is they have actual, like, scientists that break down their arguments and kind of, like, lay the groundwork for, like, here is, like, no, we live on a fucking globe. Like,
do they have some psychologists break down what the fuck these people's problem is?
Right? I don't know if they. I don't remember that being a psychologist like, particularly, but they do at the end. Kind of actually, I think there was a psychiatrist or a psychologist that kind of lays down some groundwork for not necessarily for why they believe this, but. Kind of like that they're trying to that they feel disenfranchised in other ways, so they tried to find a way to feel a part of something, and that this mm-hmm. was it.
It's like every stupid conspiracy yeah. theory or cult. It's a big part. It's people looking for an answer.
Yeah,
it's like. And look to the fucking truth. Like, why do you have to believe in a conspiracy theory? Well,
and that's where, like, some of this for me, like the like, hey, like, you know, fine, like you want to do experiments and like you don't understand like how we're because like when you think of it, like if you don't actually understand the science, it is a little crazy that we are spinning at such a fast rate and. We are flying through this galaxy at such a fast rate, and like we just don't like it. Doesn't seem like anything's going on, but it's because we are so small in the you know relative nature of shit that it doesn't matter. But their science is like weird because they do experiments where it's like we have this answer. They already have their answer. We live on a flat Earth.
That's the opposite of science,
right? So like, it's not like we have a question and we're trying to find the answers. We have an answer and we're trying to find the question. Like we're trying to find.
We have an answer. We're trying to find the science that's going to support.
Yeah. So
our fucking insane conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and it is like it's fucking like the last like 20 minutes of this are just like you want to shake some people because like they spend $20,000 on this. This like gyroscope thing, like this special gyroscope. My
God.
And it's like, hey, like, you know, if we're rotating around, like we do one rotation every 24 hours, they did like the math on it. It's like, we should be shifting 15 degrees. So if we get this gyroscope and like we can like, you know, we'll prove that we are not moving because the gyroscope will read zero. They get it. It's like 15 degrees. So they're like, all right, well, maybe we need to like put it in a box or so they create like this like super special box. It's like still comes up 15 degrees. And like, you just see them getting more and more frustrated with like, why isn't the answers coming out that we want? Like, cause like, we know that we're right. So this is a big conspiracy. And, like, you people are nuts.
Like, what do you get out of believing that it's flat? These people should not be allowed to vote. That's all. That's my final conclusion on that. Like, it's just God, people. We really need to invest in education in this fucking country, dear Lord, man.
Well, it's like, and that's like, it's we do educate people, and it's like these. People come back and they're like, no, you're wrong. Like this guy gets up, Mark Sargent, I believe is the one guy. He gets up there and he's like talking about how he got a message from some parents that were like, you know, my kids were like the teacher was like, this blah 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 Earth, like we're spinning around at 1,000 miles an hour or whatever, and like the kids were like, no, we're not, like it's flat, like the fuck are you, like you guys are fucking up your kids, like that's what you're doing, you're fucking up your kids, this is nutso. It's just, it's wild, just like kind of watching them, and at the end you kind of feel sad for them because they really are like they're these lonely people that have given up on their family and their friends because their family and their friends are sane and don't believe this nonsense. It's like this one guy was like, my four kids won't talk to me anymore. Like, yeah, because you're this combative, like angry person that's like, no, I know what's right. And, where they have this one lady, Patricia Steer, she's another like YouTube conspiracy theorist. She's like one of the questions to her is like, well, like how, like what do you believe? Like where do you get your data to prove that like what you believe is true? She's like, well, I only believe me. Like everything else is fake. Like that's crazy.
That's
you can't just be like. There was this one scientist that was like he was just, it's like mind-boggling to me, like you're like, oh, if we're spinning around this fast, like why aren't we being thrown around and shit, and like,
have you heard of fucking relativity,
right, like gravity and shit like that, and he's like, and it's like, it's not like if you were in a car driving at 60 miles an hour and you throw a tennis ball up in the air, the tennis ball flies out the back of the fucking car at 60 miles an hour. Like it doesn't happen because like that's not how things work. Like, are you not moving when you're in the car and you throw the ball up? It still lands in your hand. like that. And it ends on this experiment where they're just like, they're still trying to prove it. They come up with this like pretty interesting experiment. One of the physicists is like, that actually is an interesting experiment. I'll be interested to see the results. What they were going to do is they were going to lay down three posts about 3 miles apart and then shine a laser across them, and the laser, like at it, because it's a straight line, it should hit the post in the same spot across that 3 miles if the Earth was flat, but they're doing it and it's not working. it's like we're not getting the data, and they're like banging their heads against the wall. Like,
gee, I wonder what could be wrong.
And it's the whole thing was fascinating. I then ended up, our friend Javi kind of pointed me towards a YouTube video, also debunking flat earthers, that kind of deals with the same thing. And it was like, that was fad. Like, it was just like nice little rabbit hole of craziness to go down. It was nuts. Like it's a wild ride. I think it will make some people angry.
I think I would be frustrated.
I think you would want to shake these people instead of being like, they're sad individuals. Or you might actually end up saying they're sad individuals, but also like they're sad individuals that I want to shake.
It's like, you know, Trump supporters are sad individuals to me.
Yeah,
but it doesn't make me
not want to be like, you're an idiot.
I mean, like, with them, I have, like, a problem with them. With flat earthers, I'm just like, you can just feel sorry for them because it's harmless, you know? Being a Trump supporter is not quite as harmless, I don't think. But, like,
right,
not to get too political out of nowhere.
I do think there's correlation between the two, right?
Like, oh, there's got to be overlap.
Yeah, like, and I think that's part of the issue is, like, You get into these groups that are like fringe groups and feel ostracized, and they keep going more and more fringe, and eventually like they end up supporting like racist demagogues, and it's like what started out as like some stupid like, hey, we're on the fucking Truman Show nonsense, like where you're selling t-shirts and shit, turns into like we're living in a total totalitarian society now. Like,
yeah,
so
I mean, if you could be convinced that the Earth is flat, you could be convinced of anything.
Yep. So I'm gonna give it 3 stars. It's on Netflix.
I think I'd be mad. I don't know. Yeah.
I found it entertaining, but I can definitely see people being mad. Like, I was watching, like, the thing that actually turned me onto it was the one lady was like, The lady that was commenting on it, she was like, she was furious at it, and she had to put it off, and I was like, I want to be angry. And like, I watched it, and I was like, it didn't make me angry. It was just like, this is insanity. And also, I feel really bad for these people because there's something wrong. Like, and I don't know what it is, but they're off somewhere.
Something went wrong along the way. Well, last but not least, at least in my opinion, is you finally watched the Taylor Swift Reputation doc or concert film?
Yeah, well, I finally finished it, so put it at that. It took me a little while. It's like watching it in fits and starts.
Really?
But watching like a couple songs here and there.
Meanwhile, you told me, I saw that you watched it. I got home today and watched it for the third time, or like, you know, like in the last 2 months or whatever that's been out.
It's really good.
Yeah, dude. Like, I remember when it first like got posted up, I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, you know, now I'm glad I didn't waste the money going to see her. Like, and after seeing it, I was like, I fucking hate myself that I didn't pay money to go see this. Like, it's one of the best shows I've ever seen, dude. It's insane.
It's a phenomenal stadium show. She is up there with Lady Gaga at the top of her game on controlling an audience, and like how they react to her, like just and set pieces and different movements around the stage and like the size of the stage. I think they said like her stage was actually bigger than a 767 airplane. Like,
it's insane. Like, yeah, like the set is just huge behind her. Of course, and they're doing all sorts of different kind of set changes and shit. Like, there's fucking snakes coming out, cages, and fucking like. It feels like it gets more and more elaborate almost as it goes on. And then it'll like strip down for a minute where it's just like her with her guitar. But it's weird too. Like, when I thought it was going to end was when she's doing like the New Year's Day song where she's like. She's like playing the piano. She's like, thank everyone. You know, like she does a great job of stopping to thank the fans as well as the crew, like throughout. It's a rehearsed thing, you know, it's like a scripted thing, but it's still, I think, cool, right?
Well, I mean, it makes you feel like you're a part of it, right? Like, especially when she's thanking the crowd. And you know full well that she's saying probably something similar to this, if not the exact same words at every single stop along the way. But she is able to reach out and kind of embrace you and thank you for being there. You feel like she is thanking you for buying her tickets and being supportive of her.
And dude, rehearsed or not, it's a kind gesture. It's like I don't care if that's rehearsed. It's like that's good manners. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I really like dug that. But anyways, like she's doing that song near the end, New Year's Day, and before she starts it, she goes on this long thing about, you know, the thing that we really have to thank is like all the people that like put together the stage and they're gonna be cleaning this shit up after you're gone, blah 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 blah. And it feels like that would be the last song. It feels like a final song.
And I wonder, because what I did notice very specifically is there is no encore.
I think that had to be the end of the regular.
Yeah, so I wonder if the way it was edited was like it's cut.
They kind of cut it a little bit, I think, yes. But, you know, the encore, most times, like a band's encore is one, maybe two songs.
Right.
She has three after that. So I was like, and like they are super elaborate and bigger after like she does the stripped down piano thing. So I was like, whoa, like, you know, like it was just like more than I thought I was going to get. Like, this is fucking crazy, dude. Like, it kind of like ends on like a medley type thing. I'm like, dude, she just keeps topping it, dude. Like, I don't know. I could go on and about this fucking show for a while.
I think to kind of like look at the production of the video itself,
the film itself is
great because they do some like neat camera tricks where they're slowing her down or mm-hmm. like, so it feels like way more dramatic than it probably was, but it's like, it's what you think of when you think of like a live show. Like when you think back on like your favorite like live shows you've ever been to, that's kind of like the imagery in your head is like these big dramatic moments, and like, and this does a great job of capturing that. Even if it's false, because like they're slowing her down or
yeah,
her up, or you know, changing some colors here and there, but it captures that epicness of like an actual live show. And then what really resonated with me was a lot of live videos do this as well, where they kind of show the crowd. But in this one, like, you see that the people that were there, like, they were having the fucking time of their lives.
Like, yeah, it's pretty like,
it's infectious. Like, you're like, yes, like,
it's close up shots too. Like, it's like, you feel like a close up high quality, like on an even just more surface level to a whole thing. Like the look and sound of it, like not even stylistically, just top notch production quality. Like, cause you could go look up any band on YouTube and find a live performance, and you'll often find a professionally shot thing, but this is like movie level quality. You know what I mean? And then on top of it, you throw, like you said, like they do like some trickery with it. Like, you know, there's some slow motion and stuff like that. I don't know, dude. I've never seen a show. Like, I've seen some arena concerts and shit, but nothing. Probably the biggest band I've seen like that would be maybe Bruce Springsteen. And it's like, he puts on an amazing show, don't get me wrong, but like, I've seen nothing on this level.
Different type of show. Like,
yeah,
I mean, his is way more about music and like, this is.
I love the songs, this is something I want to make sure we touch on. I really love the Reputation album before this came out. It's like my favorite probably album I hear, and everyone else was really mixed on it. And I think you too, like, you didn't like it as much as 1989, right?
Yeah, I liked it. And it's not as instantly likable.
Not at all. At first, I didn't like it. Yeah. But anyways, well, I guess what I was going to ask, like, did seeing this kind of change your mind about the album at all? Or you just, like you said, you already said you kind of liked it, but...
Yeah, I kind of like, I mean, certainly there are some songs that I think, like, the way she performs them, you know, they do a different mix on some of the songs and like slow some stuff down and do it like a little more acoustic here and there than you get on like the very heavily produced album. And I think that does make, like, it showcases the songs in a way that maybe you didn't get all the time on the album.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, some of these are better songs than like at first glance.
Yeah. I think that the album itself, like you said too, like the first time I listened to the album, I was like, oh man, she fucking dropped the ball. But then, like, you know, when I buy a new album, like, that's all I listen to for like the whole week while I'm out like working and shit. And like, by the end of that week, I was like, you know what? I think this is better. Like, I really like this. And by this point, when I see the type of show she built around these songs, I'm like, I feel like so justified, like validated in saying that it's a great album.
She like, I know there are people out there that don't like her and like, don't like the type of music she does. And that's fine. Like, you don't have to, but you can't deny that she's a fucking genius when it comes to kind of like handling her career and how she promotes herself. And like, this just clicks like with that album. Just like you said, like everything, like it's like she built the album around this tour that she
like a concept show. Yeah. Like, and it's a type of thing that like everyone at my work will make fun of me. Oh, Jeff listens to all these girly music or whatever. Like, fucking Taylor Swift, and it's the type of thing. Well, I'll even say to them, like, right now, like, straight face, like, dude, fucking watch. Like, it's one of those acts that's like, you don't have to be into the music to appreciate how fucking awesome the show is,
right?
You know, and then you might by the end of it go, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, the music is not that bad, but like, even if it's not your thing, this is one of those concert films. I'm like, you got to see it, dude. You got to see what the big deal is. You
well,
know,
I think for some acts too, like a like
they transcend whether you into that music.
Yeah, well, look, Lady Gaga for me was the one. Like, yeah, I liked a couple of her songs before, but then like
once you've seen her live,
yeah, my wife got tickets to go see her live, and we went, and I was like, this is fucking amazing. Like, and she sings all of her own stuff, and like she plays the instruments, and same with Taylor Swift. Like, she's not just.
She's a songwriter.
Yeah, she does it all. Like, sure, like there are songs where she has like seven people that helped her on it.
Yeah,
but that's most pop music because there's so many layers to it. Like, especially when you listen to Reputation itself, like, like just try and pick out like an individual layer. Like, it's almost impossible because there's so much going on in those songs. But I think like watching her live, like. Maybe you don't come out of it going, yeah, I like her music now, but you can't come out going, like, I don't understand why people like her. Like,
yeah, and it's just, like, I don't know, like, even visually, like, it's a cool concert. Like, there's a different color scheme to almost every song. And, like, they change the lighting. Like, one time, there's, like, all this confetti that comes down, and it's, like, all super colorful. Like, kind of, like, I think it was, like, pastel colors almost or whatever. Like, it's just, like, there's always something around the corner. There's a giant snake. There's her flying over the audience in a cage. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's super impressive. Like, I highly, like, you got Netflix. Everyone listening to this has Netflix. Fucking watch this, dude. It's fantastic. I originally rated it 5 stars when we first talked about it. What's your score for this, Chris?
Yeah, mine is the same. Like, it is a stellar,
it's a great concert,
stellar concert film.
Yeah. And I sometimes I'm just like, I want to put on a concert or whatever after work, like, you know, just while I fuck around the house, like, and I turn it on today, like, you know, doing dishes and shit, whatever, like, yeah. Anyways, it's awesome. That's our show for this week, I think. Yep. Chris, you got, like, a fucking franchise for me yet?
I do.
I'm pretty dry lately, dude.
So we were being bullied into possibly watching Resident Evil.
Don't do this.
But we're not... We're not doing that.
Thank God.
But I've been feeling I want to rewatch The Matrix, and it just so happens that this month is the 20th anniversary of The Matrix coming out. So we're gonna do a series rewatch of The Matrix.
Okay, and then so this is gonna be just like the trilogy, right? Like, no cartoons are fucking...
I mean, like, if you want to do the anime...
No.
Can,
like, no, I don't want to do any more.
I mean, I have that as well, but, yeah, we could just do the trilogy. That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. Well, shit, like, I don't know how you want to break it down or when exactly you want to do it. I think it might be good to, like, maybe do it for next week, because the movies are going to start to pick up, but not before our next episode.
Right, yeah.
So... But do you want to do all three? Like, just do an episode about the three, or do you want to split it?
I think what we should do is give one. We should do one episode of just The Matrix,
and then one where we do the other.
One of the other two, since they were filmed back to back and released 6 months apart. So, interesting to kind of like take a look at them two together.
Okay, so we'll do for next week. We'll have. Yeah, are you cool with doing The Matrix then for next week?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, we'll have The Matrix. I'll have Free Solo.
Okay.
And probably another movie or two that's new to video. And then the week following that, I'm probably going to go see Captain Marvel. I like Brie Larson.
I am too. So
it's kind of the pipeline. So come back.
Yep.
Movie dudes.